Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Corey and Chad here chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TFMetalsReport.com. Now, Craig, one thing that's been in the news a lot because we are still a couple weeks away, or about a week and a half away from the next Fed meeting, is a lot of Fed speakers have been taking the mic and they really have been driving home the fact that the Fed will be pausing next meeting, again, in a week and a half, but they want to make everybody understand that they're pausing just to watch the data, and it very well might show that they might need to hike again in future meetings. This really is probably one of the most predicted and waited for pauses, but in no way are the Fed saying that, again, they're going to pause forever. And they're not saying that they're going to hike or that they're going to cut. They're just leaving the door open for everything. What's your takeaway from a lot of this recent Fed speak?
Well, hi, Corey. Welcome back. I do think they're going to cut, and I think they'll be cutting by fall. I thought it would be maybe by summer, and obviously that's been now been pushed back. The reason gold has been falling for the last 3 weeks, really since the last Fed meeting, is Powell had seemingly made it clear that there wasn't going to be a rate hike in June, and rate hike odds were at 0% after he got done with the May FOMC. But then through all the Fed speak and, you know, a couple of data points that might be one tick higher than what was expected, all of a sudden, oh, they got to hike rates. And rate hike odds early this week had gone to 70% likely that they were going to hike rates in 2 weeks. Well, now, just over the last couple of days, we had Goon Jefferson yesterday interviewed by Jerry's buddy Tim Morose at the Wall Street Journal saying, no, we'll probably pause. We're not going to do anything in June. And then we had Harker come out earlier today on Thursday say the same. And so rate hike odds for June now are going back to zero, which is probably what they should be. Now, let's think about the Fed schedule now going forward. There is this June meeting. That's always kind of an interesting meeting because on these quarters of March, June, September, and December, you also get the summary of economic projections where, you know, they all put their heads together and pull numbers out of the air where they think employment, inflation, everything else is going. So this is kind of a bigger meeting in June. And I think we can now all assume, at least unless we get some, you know, 500,000 jobs or something on the jobs report tomorrow, that it looks like they're going to not do anything when they meet in 2 weeks. Okay, then after that, you get the July meeting, which is, okay, if they don't hike in June, then what are they going to do in July? We're going to play all those games. But then they take like 2 months off. We get the Jackson Hole down out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, you know, where all the central bank people go. And Powell always gives a speech that's closely monitored. And maybe at that speech, another couple of months of data, almost 3 months, is when you're going to get the indication that in September you're going to get a cut. That's how I kind of see it all playing out from here going forward. And that's what Fed funds are pricing as well. Two, maybe three cuts by the end of the year. The metals will break out once everybody's on board that there are no more hikes and that we are at least stable and now starting to cut. That's when gold will finally break out. And gold keeps responding every time when it looks like we're getting close. You know, they played these rhetorical games in February with the data and gold went down and then put in a higher low and then put in a higher high. And now they played the rhetorical games again. It looks like we put another higher low. So we'll see what the jobs report says tomorrow. That'll impact what happens in June. But again, I still think the trend is toward rate cuts this year. Well, I may be wrong, but that's where I'm leaning right now.
Well, Craig, it is going to be interesting to see how June and July go for the Fed meetings. And then there is that big pause in the Jackson Hole event that will be, I'm sure his speech will be closely scrutinized like it always is. And we always say this is going to be the most important Jackson Hole, but this one should be a pivotal point just because how it's timing out in their cycle of, I guess, tightening, moving towards loosening. At least the market thinks so. But one of the things you mentioned there in passing was the jobs report coming out. We should have that data, you know, tomorrow. And it seemed like all of last year was a focus on inflation. This year, the first part of this year, there's been a lot more focus on the health of the jobs market, pointing out that we're not heading towards a recession. But the Fed funds futures are definitely factoring in some kind of a cut later this year. Do you think just recessionary data, some economic data coming in a week would be enough to get the Fed to pivot? Or would it have to be something breaking in the market? Would it have to be something like the banking crisis we saw start in March? Would it have to be something out of left field that comes in and shocks the market to get them to cut?
Well, I think it can be both. But because there's an election year here in the U.S. next year, I think the economy is going to be a real big thing for them. And, you know, most economists feel that the unemployment rate is a lagging, like the most lagging of indicators of whether you're in a recession or not. Now, again, are the books being cooked? I don't know, with all the seasonal adjustments and the birth death adjustments and everything else. But the jobs total number, you know, the U.S. economy created 383,000 jobs in March, that sort of thing. That number has beaten expectations, the Wall Street expectations, for 13 months in a row. Okay. The longest previous streak is like three. So, you know, whether political people at the Bureau of Labor Statistics are cooking the books, I don't know. But at some point, you know, the math is the math. The economy is the economy. The numbers are the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. And I just, after hiking as fast as they ever have, if not faster, all through last year and into this year, I still don't think that the economic ramifications are being fully felt. And so as we get deeper into this year, the economy will continue. So heck, these manufacturing PMIs and the regional Fed bank PMIs are all in contraction territory. The only thing the Fed can hang their hat on is this, you know, this jobs data that comes out once a month. And so I just think it all becomes clear as we get deeper into the summer. I just can't imagine it taking more than another couple of months before everybody's pretty much on the same page as to where we are.
What about markets? Because quite frankly, we have seen markets diverge from underlying macro fundamentals and what the economy is doing. But this environment right now with markets is, look, the markets are doing okay. They've broken to highs for the year, but we also have precious metals that have moved higher. The market is not telling us that, you know, it's in dire straits right now. But again, we're not breaking to all-time highs in anything. Everything does seem kind of range-bound and somewhat balanced in a sense, where money isn't just flowing into one area, although AI sure is generating a lot of interest. But what do you take away from this market environment where investors are, in a way, kind of spreading it out? Treasuries, gold, markets, tech, all these different areas.
Yeah, everybody's kind of waiting, it seems, right, Corey? It's like, let's just wait. We'll wait them out and, you know, wait for them. It seems like a lot of people are like me, confident that eventually the Fed will start cutting again for all these different reasons. And so therefore, why panic dump and then be forced to buy back a position in a couple of months, you know, when sentiment changes? So maybe there's some of that. You know, I do think it's important. And I know, I mean, your audience is all pretty smart, and I'm sure most recognize this. But, you know, indices like the S&P 500 are weighted indices. You know, I mean, the vast majority of the weighting is in like 10 stocks. And so if you can get those 10 stocks to go up while the other 490 flounder, you can still make the index go higher. I saw a thing about a week ago that said if you took the 500 stocks of the S&P 500 and equal weighted them at 0.2%, the index would be back down, you know, about 3,600 where it was in March. Instead, it's 4,200. Because as you mentioned, like Nvidia and some of these other, you know, those big heavily weighted tech names. So I'm not sure what to make of it all, whether it's that sort of thing that drives it or whether it's this ultimate FOMO trade, you know, that the biggest fear is the fear of missing out, and maybe it's just all those things together, you know, the ultimate, you know, headed toward like a crack up boom. But for now, it just seems as if everybody just kind of waiting this out before getting the green light that the liquidity spigots are turned on again. At least that's what it feels like.
Well, just two quick questions here, Craig. One, should we just take the summer off and relax and come back again in April or September or August or September once all of the summer doldrums are over? And two, to the point about the tech stocks and people piling into just a few narrow leadership, the mega cap tech stocks, a lot of people are mentioning they are the new safe haven for most investors. And for generalists, you know, they're fleeing to names they know, household names or sometimes AI names that are the wave of the future. And they're piling into those, and so are institutions, and so are ETFs, and everybody's piled into the same names, assuming that they are safe because they're household names. If they were to roll over, though, and experience what the rest of the market breadth is and have a 20, 30, 40% pullback, do you think that would rattle enough, you know, shake the tree enough to get people to look at true safe havens like bonds, gold, maybe the dollar? Or do you think that the sea has changed and that people can now hang out in these mega cap stocks as the new safe havens?
Well, we're kind of getting to a function of sentiment, I guess, Shad. You know, the stock goes down because it's going down type of thing, right? And it has to start going down first for that to happen. And that's the hard part. It is, you know, if you're in this buy the dip mentality, you know, just going to ride the continue ride the momentum of this is handful of stocks, then you, you know, it can't be talked into existence. It doesn't just happen on its own. You got to actually have the stock begin to go down first before everybody can start to panic out. You know what I mean? And it seems like that's where we are. And maybe that's an extension of that, not safe haven mentality, but these are the places where you can hang out because they're always going to be well bid and, you know, their downside is limited. You got to actually start getting some downside to find out if the downside is limited. And we haven't gotten to that point yet. You know, the sentiment is such a funny thing. And I remember we talked about this, Shad, last week, you know, especially as it relates to the metals. You know, gold's doing what it's supposed to do. I mean, it's back to $2,000 today on the front month August contract. Began the year when February was the front month contract at 1829. So, I mean, gold's up 10% year to date. And you'd think, you check the sentiment of precious metals investors, and it's like we're all suicidal. You know, well, why? Well, mainly because our mining shares stink on ice. And that just makes everybody depressed. But the metal themselves is doing fine. So, you know, so much of this is sentiment and emotion and momentum. Right now, the sentiment and the emotional momentum are still seems to be positive for the equities, general equities. And until something changes, it'll probably stay that way. I still think this banking sector stuff is a real deal. That's a real problem. I don't think it's systemic, as we've discussed. You know, it's not like Lehman bringing down AIG, bringing down, you know, and you get this whole daisy chain. I think it's just a bunch of whack-a-moles. And I don't think that's going away. And as credit standards get tighter by the banks, that's going to add to the contraction component of the economy too. There was a report that came out earlier this week from the FDIC, a quarterly report about the status and the health of banks and their deposits and whether they're outflows or inflows and all that kind of stuff. There were 4 banks on the Q4 2022 report that were listed as problem banks. That's how the FDIC labels them. There were 4. As the end of the first quarter, so ending in March, there were now 43. And the total amount of assets in those problem banks has gone from about $10 billion to $58 billion. So this is a problem that's not going away, and whether that can eventually impact equity markets remains to be seen. You know, they had some weakness in the equity markets back in March, but then everybody said, oh, that just means the Fed's going to cut sooner. So it's a really fickle thing, this momentum and sentiment and emotion, and that's ultimately going to drive everything, I suppose.
So are we just all just waiting for another shock to the system then, Craig? Is everything just a little too calm in your eyes?
Yeah, that's that, you know, that there's something to that as well, Corey. I don't, you know, shock, the unknown unknowns, the unforeseen events, that kind of stuff. That's, you know, not a lot of people were talking, even knew what Silicon Valley Bank was at the 1st of March, but by the 11th of March, they sure as hell did. And so you never know what we'll be talking about by the next time we speak on June the 15th. But for now, it is just kind of a status quo. It is just kind of like, well, we're just waiting them out. Let's see what this next data point is. Let's see what the jobs report shows. Let's wait for the next FOMC. And absent something crazy, that pattern probably continues.
Yeah, seems like it. But you know what? Maybe it is a good time just to take the summer off, right? Go play some golf. Go sit in the sun. Don't worry about these markets because, well, they're not falling out of bed. They're also not skyrocketing to new all-time highs. I think a lot of investors, at least right now, are just kind of sitting on their positions. Hopefully just not too many of the losing positions, because there are a number of stocks that are continuing to go down. But if you have the ones that I guess are trending higher, just stick with them, because that seems to be the play. Craig, thank you, as always, for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys.